Welcome to The Art of Semi-Fiction. I'm Jane Daly.
And I'm Robin Miller.
And today we're going to be talking about the bane of every writer's existence. What is a proposal?
Oh my gosh. Did you hear the collective cry of pain?
I heard it. It's universal. So when an editor or an agent says to you, send me a proposal, it can be the most exciting part of a writer's life. When someone says, send me a proposal, I want to read your work.
That is exciting. I'm going to give you the exciting part until you actually start to do it.
Well, then
if you don't know,
the most frightening thing in the world is also the most exciting, right?
I don't know what you're going to say, so I don't want to answer. I will reserve my judgment. Okay, I'll answer when I know.
So let me just say, it is the most exciting part of a writer's life, but it's also the most frightening.
Yeah.
Because then you actually have to do the work.
Yeah.
Writing a proposal is harder than writing the actual book.
Oh, gosh. I owned a marketing consultancy for years and years and years. I did business plans, marketing analysis, feasibility studies. I cried through my first one. I cried because I didn't have us. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
I didn't have us. There's so much information on the, if you get on your little interweb, you're going to spend 5,000 hours learning that you will never be able to complete the document because you don't have a PhD in whatever. And the reality is it's not as complicated. It's just work.
It's tedious.
It's tedious.
Let's just say that it's tedious. So there are a few differences between a nonfiction proposal and a fiction proposal.
Yeah.
And we may get through all of them, but we may not. So a proposal is something that will give an editor or an agent, but mostly an editor, it's going to give them an idea of what your book is about, who you are as an author, why you're writing it, and a brief synopsis. I mean, this is very basic, but a brief synopsis of the book.
Yep.
I should have brought my outline of my last proposal here, but I don't have it in front of me. But I can tell you that the first proposal that I wrote was something along the lines of 65 pages long.
The average, that is definitely possible. The average is about 30 to 40 pages, but don't freak out because when I first heard that, I went,
really? Yes. Really?
That's like another novel
kind
of thing. But the reality is a large chunk of that are your sample chapters. So you've already done it. So you're already ahead. Before you start, you're like halfway done.
Yeah.
Just think of it that way. So when you hear those numbers, don't panic because a large part of that, if you're at the point of doing a proposal, you already have written the sample chapters for anything that you're going to propose.
So one of the big differences between a nonfiction proposal and a fiction proposal would be that in the nonfiction, you're going to give chapter titles and sometimes chapter outlines. Some editors require it and some don't.
Yeah.
Whereas in a fiction proposal, you're actually going to give a synopsis of the book.
Yeah.
This is not the place where you want to leave any kind of surprises. This is definitely where you want to give every single thing that happens.
But in a condensed
form. I mean, you don't want to leave out that your main character ends up being the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, no surprises in a fiction proposal. Just give the facts.
And another big difference is when you're doing a fiction proposal, it is expected that you've already written the entire piece.
Oh,
so you're already done. That's a big difference because a lot of books for nonfiction, creative nonfiction, memoir, all nonfiction can be sold on a proposal with just the proposal and sample chapters.
Typically three.
Yeah.
Typically not the whole,
you don't have to finish the whole thing, but in fiction,
You do. Yes. Editors want to know that you can actually complete a novel because completing a novel is a big undertaking.
Sounds like it's easy. I want to write the great American novel. And then you're like, I just changed my mind.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do it.
Right. In nonfiction, then you're going to write your three sample chapters. And then when you go back into writing your proposal, you're going to talk about, first of all, what is the premise of the book? what is the book about? Why are you writing this?
Yeah.
If you're writing a book about, well, let's take, for instance, your Three Faces of Nelly. Okay.
That's one of my books.
That's one of your books. The Three Faces of Nelly. So you, the premise of the book is to show the reader that there were really three women who played, or three girls, who played the part of Nelly.
No, well, they didn't play the part of Nelly, because let's just, Laura fans, we want the truth here.
Oh, sorry.
It's the actual people in the Nelly Olson in the Little House on the Prairie books is a composite character.
Right.
That's what I mean. It's okay. Not the show.
It's right.
It's the books. And there were three women in Laura Ingalls Wilder's life that she took bits from, different time periods where they were, and she put them into one. So there was three women who were Nellie Olson.
So that would be the premise.
Yeah.
The premise is there were three women who were composite, and you're writing the book about that particular subject.
Yeah.
So that's your number one part.
Yep.
Second would be...
That can also be an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're, if you're pitching a book to like somebody, say, what are you writing? I'm writing a book about the three women who made up the composite character of Nellie Olson.
Boom.
Elevator, got my floor, we're done. So it's the same kind of an idea.
Except it's longer.
Not much, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the blurb is, right? So you have to do your tag, your kind of elevator pitch, and then you go a little bit deeper.
Into your really what the subject is,
yeah,
and why you're writing it. So in mine that I just, you know, is out for shopping, is Why Are My Eyebrows Growing Out of My Chin? Which is a humorous book. It's a humorous book on aging for women ages 55 to 75, which is part of what you're going to be putting in your proposal. Who is your audience?
Yes.
You must know. Yeah. You can't say, well, this book is for everyone.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
If it is for everyone, you haven't written a good book yet.
You haven't written it. Yeah. So very early on, you need to decide who your target market is. So mine, I know, is women 55 to 75.
Yep.
And yours is people who love Laura Ingalls Wilder.
May or may not really have a little slight addiction to the Little House on the Prairie series.
May or may not.
May or may not. And to know that, to know who you're writing to, and to know exactly who you are or who they are, your editor, publisher, agent, anybody you're pitching
to,
they have got to know that you know exactly who your audience is. So you're right.
Okay. And I'm not necessarily going in order, but another portion of your proposal for your nonfiction, we're just going to discuss nonfiction here for a minute, is how are you going to market to those people? Mm-hmm. Where do they hang out? What do they read? What do they watch on TV?
Yep.
But how are you going to get to them? So are they listeners to podcasts? Do they listen to Focus on the Family? Do they listen to Rush Limbaugh? You know?
Yeah.
Who are you going to how are you going to market to those women?
And
that's a real important part.
I think that's one of the most, for me, that's one of the most crucial parts, because it's one thing if you say, I can see that I need to be on an island over there, but you have no idea how you're going to get there. You don't have the means to buy a boat, or a plane ticket. You can't fly. If you can't connect to your destination, then you're kind of already shooting yourself in the foot. So using this example, I speak at Little House events. I teach pioneery kind of stuff. I have connection through groups and conferences and all sorts of ways to access my market. So when I'm going to an agent I have an agent, but if you're going to an editor or something, I can say, I know who they are, and here's how I connect with them through my Twitter and my Facebook and stuff. But I also go to where they go.
Right.
I'm where they're at.
Because your editor is going to want to for you to have a marketing plan.
Yes.
And that's a huge part of your proposal.
That's the bit that scares people.
It does. But it doesn't have to be confusing.
It doesn't.
I mean, I put down that I would start a website with, hashtag 60 is not the new 40 or eyebrows or something. I'll do a website. I'll do a blog. I'll make sure that my Twitter is this and that. So that they know I'm serious, that I'm going to help sell these books. I'm not going to just write this book and then magically it's going to hit the shelves and people are going to buy it.
Here's a really good point to point this out. the publishing industry is not the same as it was 10, 20, gosh, not even the same as 30, 40 years ago. Back in the day, which again is my favorite phrase at the moment for some reason, when you wrote a book, you could just sit and write on your little typewriter and you hand it off to your agent and there everything else gets done. Mm-hmm. Editing gets done, cover design, marketing, PR, yeah. Everything gets done for you. That is not the state of play. Even with traditional, the big publishing houses, that is not the state of play. You are going to be a part of the marketing effort. And if you're not willing to come to the table with ideas, resources, energy, activity, you know, if you're not willing to do that, you, even if your book's great and your writing's great, it's going to be less likely to be published.
Well, you know, and that's one reason it's important to be a part of a writing community because they will help you launch your book. So we're both with Inspire Christian Writers, and Inspire will help you launch your book, which is really important because those first few weeks of sales are really indicative of how your book is going to do and really how much energy are you going to be able to put into it.
Yeah. It makes sense. The publishing companies are working on tighter budgets, so they don't have the marketing budget that they used to. So they're relying on you to cultivate a market. And you're going to hear this word over and over if you haven't already. Platform. Mm-hmm. Platform is just basically how you connect and what ways you connect to the audience.
Right.
That's it. And so the bigger your platform, the bigger your audience is.
Which goes back to when you're putting into your marketing plan in your proposal, you must include your platform. Now, if you don't have a platform, it's okay to say, I don't really have a platform. But
here's where I'm going to try to
cultivate one.
Yeah.
Right. Or so in mine, I have, you know, how many Facebook followers I have and what's the engagement.
Yeah.
Because if you have a author Facebook page, you'll get a report every month, I think it is, that says these are how many people who hit your page and how long they stayed. Yeah. So your Facebook page, your Twitter followers, your Instagram followers, and then how many people are subscribed to your blog, your newsletter. I mean, all of these things, if you're writing nonfiction, these are vital. Not as much with fiction to have the platform.
It's a little bit difficult.
Fiction is a different animal, but we're for sake of discussion right now, we're just talking about nonfiction. So you need to have the marketing plan. You need to include a good biography of yourself. You need to be able to tell the story of who you are. What makes you qualified to write this book? I'm not going to be writing a Little House on the Prairie book. I'm not going to be writing a How to Make Bacon from Scratch.
I could do
that. Yeah. I'm going to leave that to the people who can write that.
But
I'm going to put in my biography, I have cared for my mom for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
I have, you know, gone through my son's death. I've spoken to other people. I've experienced this and this is why I'm uniquely qualified to write this book.
Yes. And I think it's important to note that your platform is a thing that you're going to be engaging in. And when people think, oh my gosh, I've never used Twitter. I've never used Instagram. I've never used, you know, all the 50 billion different social media outlets. And that's what I'm going to do. You will do nothing but that. You got to find something that works for you. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do, if you like Facebook, it's a way that you feel comfortable engaging. It's something you like to use and you think you can do it well, do it. If you like Twitter, for some reason, I'm not a big Instagram person. I don't even know. I set up an account and then I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't a thing. But I have, funnily enough, on my Pinterest, I have two Pinterest boards and I have over 80,000 people a month going to my Pinterest board.
Which is crazy.
And I don't
use Pinterest.
And so much of what I've done is I love it. I love connecting because I love Pioneer, the period in the time. And like Jane said, I speak on everything from Little House stuff to writing to How to Make Bacon from Scratch. And I have boards that are set up. What are Pioneer skills and what are homesteading tips and cleaners and foods and whatever, you know, I've even got, I just pinned one on how to butcher your own pig at home. Okay.
And then we make the bacon.
And then we make the bacon. I will not do the butchering, but I will make the bacon from scratch. But that's a way for me to connect to my audience because the people who are, even though Little House were a set of books, there's huge overlap. and the people who are homesteading, there's a huge overlap of people who are homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So for me, cultivating that audience, it's something I love. It doesn't feel like a burden to me. It's something I would kind of do anyway because it's of interest to me. And so when I input in it, it's not just sucking me dry. Mm-hmm. And I don't try to do Instagram and everything. I just try to pick the couple things that I feel comfortable doing and do it and do it well. It's better to have a lot of followers or a lot of something in one or two areas than 10 followers across everything that you're not doing well.
Right. And, you know, we're making it sound like, all you need to do is write the book and do the proposal and then you're going to sell it. We really, I know that we're going to be talking about platform,
yeah.
But one of the things that I think we need to just be brutally honest with is we can't just write the book and do the proposal and get it sold. We need to at least have a newsletter or a blog or some form of engagement where people can say, oh, I like what she says. I will buy her book when it comes out.
Yeah.
Now, in my newsletter, I don't say, and please buy my book when it comes out, or here, please buy my old book. I don't like getting newsletters where people...
It's just advertising.
It's advertising. Yeah. My newsletter, I try to make it fun, but we're back. I don't want to talk about platform. I want to go back and talk about... So you've written, you've got your bio, you've got your premise, you have your marketing plan, you have your audience. Then you need to have... You need to put your table of contents in there. You need to have... You need to at least know what your chapters are going to be about, even though you may have only written 3 sample chapters. Yeah. But you need to know what an editor wants to know. How are you going to carry this thing through? You've got a theme. So my theme is, you know, aging with grace. How are you going to carry that through 14 or 15 chapters?
And it sounds like it would be easy. It sounds like, well, I'll start at the beginning and then but the reality is you could arrange that in a million different ways. For my Nelly book, because there were 3 women, I had 3 sections, and each section had the exact same format of it, where that character connected to the actual books. So what stories in the Little House books was she responsible for? And then background, and then life, you know, I had the exact same thing. So when I did the structure part of it, I knew I was going to do for each one X, Y, Z. And that was going to be replicated in all 3. So there was a structure. I knew what was coming. I knew what I needed to include it. My readers would go, if they had read the first one and went, oh, I like all that information. And then I didn't give that same information in the second, my readers would have been like, why not? It's important for your editor, agent, or whoever you're pitching to know that you know what's going to go in there, even if you haven't done the research yet, or whatever, written the actual chapter, what's going to go in each section, what's going to go in each chapter. Important.
Right. Yes, in the book that I just finished the proposal for, the eyebrows book, I have it in 3 sections of aging. I've got your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual. And so each section has several chapters, and it deals with that one at that particular aspect.
I like that. But you could have done something different, couldn't you? You could have done like talking about what happens in the 55 to 60 years and 65. I mean, you could have done it all sorts of different ways, but you chose your voice, your way of presenting this information. You chose one way, and now your whoever's reading that proposal will know exactly where you're going with that.
The other thing you need to include in your proposal, which I totally forgot and is very close to the beginning, is how long is this book going to be at completion? So typical nonfiction, the kind of thing that we're talking about, 45,000 to 55,000 words. Also, when are you going to be done? So let's just say that you do get a contract, include in there how long you reasonably think it's going to take you to finish that book. I put in my proposal 6 months after contract because I figure, I can do it because I have enough written of it that I know I could do it in 6 months.
And you'd rather impress them by having it done in 3.
In 4 months.
Than if you say 3 months and you're a week late.
Oh, yeah.
Always better to exceed expectations.
Correct. Yes. Over promise. No,
over deliver, under promise,
over promise, and over deliver. Yeah, not the other way around.
Shocking.
Holy moly. Jane. What did I forget, Robin?
Okay. I'm looking. title and word count. You got the elevator, blurb, structure of the book, target market, your author bio. And I want to say one more thing about the author bio. Author bio is not a place, I know Christians especially, we don't want to toot our own horn.
Oh, because we're so humble.
Well, of course we are. But you look at me like that, but I've noticed that I've caught a lot of things that you have in some, because we also team teach and we do other things together. I've seen a bio of yours that I'm like, what about this? What about that? Oh yeah, I forgot that I did that. Or I forgot that I won that award. You know, I think that needs to be in there. It's not a time to, it never is a time, and don't exaggerate your numbers. Do not say I have 4 billion Instagram followers when you have 7, because they will look. Yeah. And your integrity as a writer, I mean, forget just the Christian thing, just as a writer, is in question. And if you are new and they don't know whether or not you can deliver a book that is marketable and, you know, will do mm-hmm. well, you can shoot yourself in the foot. And all these agents and editors and publishers, they go to conferences, they talk to each other, as we say in unison. So it's important, isn't it, to you be honest. If you have 912 Twitter followers, then you have 912. And if you have 32 Instagram followers, say 32. Don't round up. Don't change it. Let it be what it is. But your author bio, if you have, like part of what Jane was saying, part of my experience is I have an MFA in writing. So in creative mm-hmm. nonfiction and fiction. That's part of me. I've won some awards. That's part of me. I have 8 books. That's part of me. But in some of what I'm writing, I live the experience. Mm-hmm. So part of my street cred as a writer of this book, and this is kind of a bet that you didn't mention, is anybody might be able to write a book on aging. Why are you the one? Why are you? And why is this book unique? That's important mm-hmm. for a publisher to know. So if I'm writing a memoir on child abuse and I was never abused, then that's going to look kind of shady, right? So this is a point where you're doing your credentials, mm-hmm. but you're also doing your expertise. I speak at places where my audience is, or I have been in this situation. I've gone through it. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what it's like. So your author bio has all that information in it. Both your, if you think, well, I haven't gotten the degree, or I haven't published yet, or I haven't whatever, so I have nothing to write. You do. Why are you the person to write this book?
And if you need help, get your writing tribe involved in helping yep. you write a bio that makes sense.
Yeah. And I, one other bit of the marketing that is important. If you're connected to people who can give you any kind of endorsement. So if you, like, we know Susie Florey, who is a good friend of ours, and she is a memoirist. If we write memoir and we might be able to ask her, would you write a foreword for our book or whatever? Mm-hmm. Put that in your marketing. I can get a foreword from New York Times bestselling award-winning author Susie Florey. You know,
sorry, Susie.
Yeah, we're
don't everybody call Susie Susie. Okay, please.
Unless you know her intimately, because I think that's important. If you have those kind of connections, that's
something
important.
You need to put that in there yeah. because an editor is going to want to know who is a potential endorser for you, and don't list somebody that you have not talked to.
Oh yes, don't ever volunteer anybody, because again, goes down. You're going to burn bridges you don't want to yeah. burn. If you have no connections and you know nobody, then don't put them down. Just put your best foot forward.
Right.
That's all you can do. That's what a proposal. That's what a proposal is.
And we will talk about fiction proposals at a future podcast, because we're out of time, and you've been listening to The Art of Semi-Fiction, where we explore every
corner of the written. It's been a long day. I don't know what we're exploring, but I'm pretty sure it's every corner of the written word.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast and share it. And we'll see you in the next episode.
See you next time.
Thanks.